The Lux Ops Here podcast with Scott Bowser is brought to you by Underdog Fantasy. Underdog Fantasy is the easiest place to play fantasy sports. It's also the fastest growing fantasy app in the industry. I'm a big fan of the Pick'em game over here. And it's like whether you play your favorite players will have a higher or lower stat total in this week's game for a chance to win big. You can win up to 100 times your money in a single night. Pick between 2 and 5 players in a Pick'em entry. You can also pick rival picks, which pits 2 players against each other, where like which guy will have more points. I'm watching the NBA playoffs right now, actually. So, yeah, which guy will have more assists? Which guy will have more rebounds? You get where I'm going from here. I'm a big fan of the NHL playoffs, and they started this weekend. I'm going to just kind of throw this one out there. My Kings are doomed against the Edmonton Oilers this week. So take Leon Draisaitl, Connor McDavid, hires against the Kings' shoddy defense. I think they're going to eat. Anyway, sign up today with promo code LSH and get your first deposit doubled up to $100, as well as an instant pick 'em special. That's right. Visit underdogfantasy.com or find them in the App Store. And don't forget to register with my promo code LSH and get your first deposit doubled up to $100 plus that instant pick 'em special. Must be 18 or older and present in a state where Underdog Fantasy operates. Terms apply. Concerned with your play, call 1-800-522-47700 or visit www.ncpgambling.org.
Wow.
Yeah. That's it. That's, you know, that's the business. That's the legal. I got all that out of the way. Yeah, we're live, buddy. I am here this week. Good friend of the show. Glad to have him back, Mr. Brian Cook. How you doing, buddy?
I'm doing great. How about you?
I'm fantastic. I'm making changes in my life. I'm switching to a new work schedule where I only got to work 4 days a week instead of 5.
That's pretty solid.
So anytime you make a move like that in your life, I think you won. And it gives
you just got like years of your life back, basically. If you add that up,
it's true. Like, dude, just I'm thinking about it. Like, my week now is like 4 days for them, 3 days for me. That's I'd rather have it the other, you know, more tipped my direction, but much better than the 5-2 bullshit that they were forcing down my
if you worked there for 7 years, that's an extra year of your life.
Yeah, you know, I didn't even think of it like that.
Fuck yeah, I did. That's why I'm here.
Yeah, that's why you're here, dude. That and all kinds of other fun stuff, dude. I have been on hiatus here for the last few weeks. I've been undergoing dental work, and I finally got him to refit the apparatus because I have the front 2 teeth knocked out right now. I have like a hockey player thing. See?
No, you shouldn't do the pod like that. That rules.
Yeah. I mean, it makes me sound all weird, though. Like my, it's hard to articulate when you don't have front teeth.
Yeah, no shit.
That's why you don't. That's why you don't see a lot of people from West Virginia on national television.
It's true. Well, that they don't have the electricity, but
yeah,
that was the one state. I used to work at Barnes and Noble, humble brag, and that was the one state with no Barnes and Nobles, which I thought was hilarious. I don't know if they like opened them and they went under, but when I worked there in like 2000, people would ask like, "Oh, are you guys in every state?" We had to learn this like in the manual, like every state but West Virginia, man.
We are in 49 states. We are in all 49 literate states.
Yeah, exactly. Any state where you don't call a town a holler.
Not like I had a series of like skateboard and BMX accidents as a kid that kind of chipped and weakened the teeth and ended up requiring crowns as I got older. And then the one crown broke a few years ago. And so they built a bridge on the other one. But the problem is that weakened it and that broke recently. And I basically had an abscess the size of my fist growing like between my nose.
And
like, yeah, it was brutal, dude. Like, I couldn't see right. Like, it was, like, affecting my vision. Like, it felt like I just got punched in the face at all times because it was, like, right on the pressure point of my nose. Like,
holy fuck.
It was brutal. And so, cool thing about that is, speaking of Underdog Fantasy there at the top, every year, my buddy Ryan Kramer at the Sports Gambling Podcast does a 24-hour straight best ball draft stream with Underdog Fantasy. I'm going to be joining him for that. We're going to be doing like a telethon to raise funds for my dental work that's a certain amount of.
Okay.
We're also going to be racing digital horses for Photo Finish Live, which I will do the plug for later in the show. But yeah, so yeah, I do have a. I'm gonna have a GoFundMe with like the that we're gonna be raising funds for on this 24-hour big telethon coming up. So it's like I haven't even started it yet because we're gonna be doing this in like I think a couple months. I was gonna do it this weekend actually originally, and then we decided to combine the two, and you know let's alleviate some bills for me because it's fucking insane how much dental shit costs. Dude. It's fucking.
Oh man, I can only imagine. You didn't have dental. Do you have dental at your new gig?
I do. And I had dental at the old gig too, but the dental at my old gig only covered like $1,000 a year. It basically covers like a fucking deep cleaning every 12 months. Yeah. And like, fuck. And so this new one, the insurance is a little better. So I'm hoping, even if it's the same though, really on the dental side, at least I'll get that extra $1,000 out of it, you know? Of,
sure. Like, yeah. Like, yeah.
Like that.
Did you I guess you don't want to like go to Mexico when it's something that urgent, but I've heard actual good things about dental work.
Okay, I've had people mention this or even Thailand, and here's the thing is the stuff I'm doing right now requires like several appointments. I've had to have an appointment like every 2-3 weeks for the last 3 months, dude. I can't go to Mexico
What's funny is our idiot friend Andy did just that. He thought that like when you went to get a crown that they just like put a crown in. So he went to Mexico and thought he was going to drive home like the next day. And they're like, no, it takes like 3 days. We take a mold and then we have to get the crown made.
Yeah, no.
But he also had Airbnb'd his place by Joshua Tree. So he had to like drive home, fucking get it all set to go for the guy and then go back to Mexico like 3 days later.
No, yeah, it's dude. No, because I've had Dwyer was telling me that. And I was just like, yeah, no, that's. It's not as easy as you think just to do that. Like it's
like for a root canal or something.
Yeah, and it's not that big of a discount. And like at the end of the day, it's really,
oh, really?
Yeah, it's not that. I mean, it's cheaper, but it's not like for what I need, dude. This is like serious. Like I'm getting implants eventually in a few months, like in like 6 months. Now that this is all healing, I had to get a bone graft and all this stuff. They extracted the one, and then I'm getting the other crown in a couple weeks. Or wait. I got to go in, yeah. I got to go in a week from Wednesday to get the next
What a fucking crown. Pain in the ass. Jesus.
Oh, it's the worst, dude. Especially when they were trying to, like, schedule the appointments, like, the week of my new job, like, at weird hours. I'm like, no, dude. I'm not asking on, like, my second day to take time off for an appointment, dude. That's not how this is going to work. Cram these in at the my last days at the old job where I don't care if I miss a day. Totally. Like, do you guys understand how this works at all?
That sucks. I ate shit on a fucking scooter last night just to have something to talk to you about. But luckily, the choppers weren't affected. Just your little boo-boo in my hand.
Well,
I was leaving the Hollywood Bowl and everybody was moving like really slow because that's how people fucking walk for some reason. I hate crowds. So I grabbed a scooter and I was heading to this other bar to meet up with the guys I was there with. But they were walking at the pace of the fucking audience and I couldn't deal with it. But I ate shit and I hit my mouth on the sidewalk, but it was like,
oof.
Fine. But
I'm losing you a little. Oh.
I was like looking in a like shop window, you know, trying to look at the, oh shit. Am I back? You're here.
You're back.
All right. I was looking in like a window to try to see if it fucked my lip up. Right. And there was this dude standing there, young black guy. And I was like, hey man, does it look like I got punched in the face? He goes, no, man, you look like that dude from Cheaper by the Dozen. I'm like, what the Steve Martin? No way it's Steve Martin. And so I looked it up and I'm like, I guess he thought I looked like Alan Ruck from
Succession and Ferris Bueller. And
Yeah. Ferris Bueller is what I'm trying to go. Yeah. But that was not the pull I was expecting from this like 25-year-old black dude in Hollywood Boulevard.
That's see, streaming services have really put some stuff into these kids' heads.
Absolutely.
You know, it's funny you mentioned Airbnb with Andy. I had a crazy incident the other night. It was like Tuesday night or whatever. Yeah, all of a sudden my doorbell starts ringing like at 2:30 in the morning.
Oh no!
And I'm like, what the fuck? And there's people standing out there like, hey, is this our Airbnb? And I'm like, absolutely not. No, I live in a condo and the way my complex is set up, it's like each building is like four units. So there's like two in the front, two in the back. It's like, and then there's like two on the front first floor, two on the second floor. So I'm on the front one on the first floor. And I just went, They're like, well, it's this address. I'm like, okay, well, there's the one above me. And I'm like, I know the guy upstairs. I see his car right there. It's not, don't bother him right now. I'm all, so it's going to be one of the two on the back side. I'm like, you guys need to figure that out or whatever. But then I saw them, and they were very confused people. And we have like cameras on my, I have cameras like going on my parking spot and stuff. So like over the next day, we saw them like very confused tourists walking around, getting ready for Ubers and stuff in the front. But I thought that was like a brilliant heist, if you think about it. Show up with empty suitcases, knock on doors in the middle of the night and say, hey, am I your Airbnb? If they like crack, let you in, just bum rush them, fill up the suitcases and you're out.
That's pretty good. That's funny because I was thinking my first thought, because I'm also a scumbag, was like, oh, somebody's scam that they just put like random address and take some fucking photos of whatever, right? And put it on air, which I'm sure in the early days of Airbnb you could have gotten away with. Now I think there's a lot more like shit in place, but that would be great. Just like renting out fucking people's apartments that are living in them. I'm going to do that. I'm going to do that to you. I'm going to get your fucking address.
Well, someone looks like someone already did it to me, dude. Like,
it's like the Airbnb version of swatting.
Yeah, no, it is, dude. And like, I don't know. But at the same time, I think that's a great heist, dude. Like
I love it.
That's an organized crew, dude. Like, cause all you gotta do is get them to open the door. Then you have someone standing off to the one side. And then, bam, just come in right behind him, let everybody in, tie the guy up.
I felt like such an idiot one. Like, luckily, it was fine, but a dude with a pizza knocked on my door once, and like an idiot, I opened the door. And as I did it, I'm like, oh, this guy's about to rob me. And he didn't. He literally just had the wrong address, but that's another perfect move. You can't fit as much in a pizza box, though.
No, you can't, yeah. When you have three people with luggage looking like lost to it, like that's... Oh, that's good. Yeah.
Well, you get a kid too, like a professional, like you know, he's dragging fucking. That's only in Leon. That's only in the French version. They cut out the scenes in the American version where Natalie Portman knocks on doors, and then the guy goes in and fucking murders people. Like he used her as a decoy.
I like the Wayans Brothers classic Little Man, where Marlon Wayans' his character just looks like a little guy. And pretends to be the little kid, but he's like actually like a cat burglar.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
And
yeah, you got to get somebody like that in the crew.
Yeah, you have to have that, or like the Chinese guy from Ocean's 11, basically, that could just fit in the suitcase.
And like, oh, there you go.
So like, you accidentally, in the hubbub, you leave a bag there, and then he sets the elaborate trap to let you back in later.
Oh shit! Yeah. Well, now we got a whole nother. This is no longer just a smash and grab. Like this is a whole fucking
thing. Yeah. This is how we're gonna take the Mona Lisa, dude. This is how.
Hell yeah.
Just leave a bag at the.
Also,
Louvre.
Who checks into an Airbnb at 2:30 in the morning unless it's like
Las Vegas
with like a passcode?
Yeah, it's Las Vegas though.
But like with a like knocking on the door and a person's gonna be there at 2:30.
Yeah, no, that's.
That doesn't make any fucking sense. Like if you're checking in that late to an Airbnb, there's a passcode or like a key box.
I had my gun within like arm's length, just in case they tried to shit there. Yeah, right in my mouth. You know, just
right. Yeah, I heard a knock on the door, but luckily I had my gun in my mouth already, so I was fucking sad.
Yeah, I was cool, dude. Like I was like, "What are you gonna do? Your worst."
What's up? Oh, sorry. Yeah, no, I had my gun in my mouth. You know, it's Saturday.
Yeah, come on. This is how I roll, guys. It's just wild though. Like thinking about that though. Like there's so many like I don't know. There's so many ways that goes wrong. And it turns out it just was like a family that was just lost on vacation. Like it was like a mom with like kids in like their late teens, early 20s or whatever, which is the perfect heist crew, you know, middle-aged woman.
Yeah, absolutely.
Two younger kids, dude. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. It's like The Riches. You ever see The Riches?
No.
Weirdly, a great kind of crime dramedy series that starred Eddie, God damn it, British comic.
Eddie Izzard.
Eddie Izzard and Minnie Driver.
I know which one you're talking about now. Yes. I know which show you're talking about.
It was like a, you eventually you figure out they're a bunch of grifters who are not even related, but they're supposedly a family, and they're pulling off this kind of shit. It's good.
Yeah,
a lot of good ideas.
Yeah, see, yeah, that's just how I want to. I mean, I've been pricing, you know, storage unit houses just go up into Montana and Ted Kaczynski it. But, dude, it turns out, like, you need a bigger budget than I got for that right now. Like, he had science money coming in. You know, he had college professor money coming in.
Sure.
And I don't have that kind of money. And I realized that you think that's an attainable dream growing up. But you know what? It's not as attainable as you would think. To just go off the grid and
start
shack.
Working on your manifesto anyway.
Yeah, I've already. Yeah, the manifesto has been on like the fifth draft now. But
I did look into those container homes once. But the bummer about building a house is you can't usually finance it. You have to just have the money to pay for the whole fucking thing up front.
Yeah, yeah. I was looking at these tiny.
Those container homes are cheap.
I was looking at these tiny home plans on there's a site. And the plans are like $200. I'm like, I guess if you it would cost you like 20, 30 grand to build the whole thing, depending on what you get your labor for, like what the local labor costs are going to be for you. Like, so if you have like, if you're a like carpenter or whatever, it's obviously going to be cheaper for you, you know, but you still I was looking at places down like lots down in Bullhead, Arizona, which is just on the other side of the river from Laughlin, Nevada. And, getting one of those like ones that already have the water and electric hookup and building like a tiny, like a tiny home beach cabin kind of thing in the desert, but near the river, you know, and
yeah. Yeah.
Have a little river path.
Like to live in full time.
Eventually. Yeah. But like I could Airbnb it now.
Okay.
And then,
yeah.
And then until I find,
I think
like,
I'd go crazy in a fucking tiny home.
These are actually kind of cool. They're like two bedroom with like, it's like a little bit more than a tiny home. It's like a mobile home on steroids kind of thing. Yeah.
So if you blew your brains out, it wouldn't hit all four walls.
No. And the one I like has a deck like on the roof, like out in front of like the bedroom.
Oh, nice.
And there's like a kitchen thing below and it's like a carport and everything. Yeah. So
I get mad when I see any like house with a flat roof that doesn't have a deck up there.
Yeah. What are you doing?
What the fuck are you doing?
I like the ones.
It's crazy. Like
you know, like the super like Italian houses in like New York, like in like Long Island that have just like the on top of the garage is just like a straight fucking deck. Just it's nothing special. And like I see a few of it. Like there's a few that have that vibe here in Vegas, and it looks so funny because it's just like they're like, yeah, no, this is just the garage, and we just walked out on top of it and put a barbecue and stuff. But it's like, yeah, that's exactly what you should be doing with that space. Like, there's no reason not to.
Yeah. No, if you live somewhere where you don't, like, I grew up in Maine, you got to have a pitched roof because of the snow. If you live somewhere where you can actually have a flat roof, you're just fucking wasting a perfectly good. But then you see also motherfuckers in LA that have like a balcony or a deck in their house. But you drive by a new like complex. And every fucking overpriced condo has like a balcony. You never see anyone on those fucking things.
No, no, no.
Drives me crazy.
At my old place here, we were on the second floor. Like I have like a little patio here, but like the old place had a sweet balcony with like this cool tree in front of it. So we were kind of hidden from everybody. You kind of go back there and hide and just chill out.
Nice.
And I was on that thing all the time. Like that's.
Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah.
It's the best.
Yeah, they're like, hey, you're like a porch monkey. I know. Hang on that porch show. No. Oh, man. I kid. Dude, so, okay. I got a funny story for you, too. This is good stuff. I had to go to the police station this week for a thing, file some paperwork. I wasn't in trouble or anything, but I had to go turn this in. And with my new work schedule coming up and all this stuff, I realized I wanted to get it done before the weekend, just in case it needed to be in place by then. I was like, I'll just get this done as early as possible. And so I go, and I have to go to the North Vegas police station, which I was surprised. I live in the city of Las Vegas, but I live right next to the North Vegas airport. So I guess it had something to do with that. I don't know, whatever. Anyway, I go, and when I'm pulling up, I realize I'm like, oh man, like I'm going to the police station, like fucking like office, like, or like, you know, lobby or whatever. I might see some fucking hilarious shit here right now. Like, I'm sorry.
Sure.
I started like thinking, yeah, like, yeah, dude, all right. This is going to be fucking awesome. And then I look and there's like a special office exactly for me where it's like the records and work card division. It's literally for people to get hired in like gambling establishments to get their like gambling work card from the police station. And okay. then people like me, they're going there to like file paperwork. It's like, I need permission to put my boat in my fucking driveway or whatever, you know, whatever the shit we're all there for. It's the most boring place ever. And I'm like, oh, this is a bummer. So I walk in and the guy, I'm like, I see the guy at the window. He goes, and he looks at me like with like a 1,000-yard stare. So I'm like, okay, maybe this place is a little more intense than I realized. And he goes, hey, there's a QR code right here on this thing. Just scan it. And that'll prompt you to sign your name in, and we'll call you when you're ready and everything when we're ready. And I'm like, oh, perfect. And before I can even reach to my get my phone out of my pocket, a woman comes running behind me. I need to report a missing person in Henderson, and this is the city of North Las Vegas, which is like basically two towns over. They're like, well, we don't do missing people in Henderson, all that stuff. So then she goes into the whole thing. Like, He always comes home. He's always home. He doesn't like going out, so he must be missing. And I'm like, it sounds like the dude just fucking lost it, went on a bender or something. And
yeah, sure.
It's like, go check.
He's at the whorehouse.
Yeah, yeah. Check the dive bars, whorehouses, and shitty casinos. He might be at one of those. But I'm like, oh, okay. It doesn't matter if this is just the boring records office. And it's like, there's no... I did not see one person wearing a badge my entire time here. It's just like file clerks that like normal people making like $14 an hour to sit there at this window and take this shit. And so, okay. So then I realized my window is like totally on the other side of the thing for the thing I need to do. So I get to go sit over there kind of, but I get a fucking great view of the whole fucking room and what's going on. And I'm watching all these people and I'm like, all right, who's next? What's going on? Like what's coming next? And then next time some lady comes in, dude, and it's like, I need to report my husband. And I'm like, oh, here we go. And then like she's like, for child endangerment and really endangering me too. The way she said it was like real like, I was like, okay, well, I don't know what's going on here. And so she would whisper like the very juicy stuff, but was saying enough of the stuff out loud. And by the questions the guy at the window is asking, here's what I pieced together, okay?
Okay.
This guy was getting blackout drunk, driving around with their 6-month-old in the back.
Good.
And picking up, like, trans sex workers while doing it and recording some stuff on the phone.
What the fuck? Yeah. Wow. And yeah, like, don't mind her. She'll fall asleep any minute.
And so like, cause at first she's like, he's out there and he's drunk. And so I'm pretty sure he said drunk. I couldn't quite make it out completely. Cause she kind of cut up. But he's like, she said he doesn't remember anything. And then I checked his phone and I saw all this stuff. And finally I just hear the guy asking questions and he just goes, so he's gay?
What? And I'm like, I don't know that that's any of your business, sir.
And I'm like, that's amazing that you're hearing all this and that's what you get out of this. You're like, he likes penis? Like,
yeah, wait, how did two men even have sex? Man, you're not making any sense. You're clearly hysterical.
Dude, I was fucking... And I'm sitting there like, oh my God, this is the best thing. But yeah, that's kind of what I put together. Cause like he was saying, she said something about how she goes around finding all them, you know, walking around and you know, he likes the ones, you know? And like, I don't know, like the way I piece it together, it was trans sex workers, him blackout drunk with a baby in the backseat, dude. Like,
unbelievable. Well, look, he's saving money on a sitter. So that's just frugal.
Yeah. You know? And like, that was the thing, like, because I remember hearing the guy say at one point, like, well, do you guys don't have anybody that can watch the kid or anything?
Don't you have any friends mother in
come
town?
On, you get a baby, you just get a babysitter. He can go do this all day, and he doesn't have to have the kid in the backseat.
Yeah.
You fucking idiot. Like,
You know what? I get off at 5. I'll watch the kid.
It was amazing. Yeah, and so those were, like, the two, like, and then there's another lady that came in that was just kind of, like, doing the. I was a victim recently, and my detective hasn't gotten back to me. And it's obvious, like, she left her phone at, like, the gym, and someone took it, and then she pressed charges or something. You know, she had that kind of energy.
Jesus. Right.
And because, like,
right,
you know, and it was just like, I mean, I don't know what it was, clearly, but she kept complaining that this detective wasn't getting back to her. And I'm like, I can tell why he's not getting back to you. It's
kind of, yeah, because it was petty and you're annoying.
Yeah. And like, it kind of reminded me of like Big Lebowski of like, yeah, he's just waiting for some leads.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. You got to work it in shifts, honey.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, as much as cops fucking suck, it's kind of great, actually, how much bullshit like that they must have to put up with on a daily basis.
God, dude.
The dumbest people who don't realize they're at the bottom of the fucking stack when it comes to priorities for a police officer, a detective to be dealing with.
Oh, dude. It's so good. And like, I mean, this was just amazing. When I was walking out of there, I was like, you know, I wish I didn't have to leave right now, because I wouldn't mind sticking around here another 45 minutes or so, see what walks in next. I have a feeling like every hour you got like a new like guest. Yeah. It's like the old Merv Griffin show, dude. He's got...
Yeah, have a seat.
Yeah, yeah, come on, sit down.
Keep moving down the couch. Come on, psychos. Do they have free coffee there at least? This might just be the new place to go hang out.
Yeah, I mean, really, dude, like there was a vending machine, if I recall right, and like... Yeah, and honestly, there's probably a good little racket to make too, because like a lot of the things require a cash payment and need exact change because they don't carry change there all the time. So if you just had to carry change on you and took a little, like, yeah, I'll give you the change, but you know, I get 50 cents back, you know, on the transaction.
Definitely worth your time.
Yeah, you can turn it into a little side hustle. So, you know, now that I got Fridays off coming up, that might be my new Friday.
Hell yeah.
But actually, that office...
Just hang out down there.
That's why I had to go on Thursday afternoon, actually, because the office is only open Monday through Thursday, which was a bummer to me. Well, I'm like, you guys, this is a six-day-a-week operation you guys have going here, and you're cramming it into four. We can spread this out. We can get to... The weekend people could be really good. I mean, this is... Like, I watch a lot of these cop shows, like the... like the locked up shows of like people that have to sit in a city jail for like a couple of weeks before they get transferred to a state prison, shit like that. So they got some psycho sitting there with Barney Fife. Like, dude, like these shows are great, right? And I realized, I'm like, you know, a better version of that show might just literally be The Clerks and all the insane people that think like the person that's filing the paperwork can make anything happen for them at all. Like,
oh, sure. Yeah. That doesn't realize that's not even a police officer.
Yeah. And like, it's funny too, where like the one guy where she went to report her husband, I realized the guy just kind of comes out of the woodwork. All right, guys, I got this one. You know, like, woman needs to report her husband. Yeah, I got this.
Amazing.
I'll be all.
Dude, yeah. I was at a fucking bar with a vending machine the other night, which I found hysterical. And it was also, I might have texted you because the bartenders were just openly smoking indoors. This in Los Angeles. This in Reseda, right? You know Mark Agee?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
He moved to Woodland Hills, so he's like a little further deeper in the valley than he used to be. So I was like, oh man, I haven't seen Agee in a bit. So I met him kind of in between my place and his in Reseda at this bar. I'll text you the name of it because I don't want to get him busted, but because it's got to be a front. Like, this place can't exist. It's amazing.
Dude,
openly smoking indoors.
I used to live in Reseda.
$3 beers, man. Oh, you did?
So I let me text you like three guesses.
I guarantee you'll get it. But they sell $3 beers. The place is huge. Has to be a front for something. I don't know what's going on in there. But they were chill as fuck. It was great. It's like my new favorite spot.
Oh, that's awesome, dude. Yeah, I actually just discovered I found it on Instagram, but me and Sean Green went a couple weeks ago to this new like pirate tiki bar in downtown Vegas here. Yeah. And it was pretty cool, but it's one of those, I realized like when you, me and Andy went to that one tiki bar, that place is pretty gritty and it's like, we can go throw them back there for a couple hours. That's a fun place to go do that at. But the one we went to was almost more of like nicer, like Disney-er. Version of a pirate. And so like we had drinks there and we're like, yeah, this is good, but like the food didn't look that like we were hungry, so we went to this pizza place around the block, and that place ruled because it's like an old-timey pizza parlor, like really old building, so like one of the original buildings in downtown Vegas, and which I mean, okay, not even 100 years old, but whatever.
Sure.
But like, well, the funny part about it was I look at this wall, I noticed they just have all these pictures of old Italian ladies on there. And I just asked the guy, I was like, hey, so if I brought a picture of my old Italian grandmother, like, we will absolutely put it up on the wall with the rest of them. I'm like, oh. So I was talking to my cousin. Yeah. I think we're going to have like a little like mini cousin. That we're not going to include any of the parents, aunts, uncles, or just the cousins and stuff. And go have a little fucking ceremony and get some pizza and knock back some drinks there for that. I think that would be fun.
The a million people have done this, but I love it every time when you just like bring a photo in and secretly like hang it on the wall at a place like a bar that has celebrities, you know?
Oh,
like,
yeah, dude.
It's such a great gag. And somebody was just telling me their friend did it and it's still there. Fuck, I can't remember what the bar is.
I saw a place at Circa Casino where I can definitely, I texted you this. I remember this where like I found a place at Circa Casino where I can definitely get away with it. I just need to like either figure out the frames they got or really just figure out the coat of paint. Cause it's like a real basic cut. Like I can, if I just borrow my friend's saw, I can make those frames myself pretty easy. Like I'm not a great carpenter, but it really wouldn't be that much. And then just make the paint match it and put a picture of myself up in the spot in the casino. And I don't think anyone would notice it. Like it's one of those that would blend right in, dude.
That's right. We were talking about this because I was saying I want to do it at the Fox and Hounds in City or whatever.
Well, I saw those kids.
It's like right by the door too. And some of them are down low. Like they kind of go like waist level. I think you could really easily sneak one in there.
There are some kids that like put themselves on a wall, like mural thing in a McDonald's that went viral where like they just kind of photo, like they got like made like stickers of themselves and were able to just kind of like do like the stickers that just go over the other stickers that look and it just kind of blended right in. And then like McDonald's saw it or whatever and ended up giving them like paying them for it because it was like the thing went so viral. They were like, yeah, dude, like, thanks for
why not
making us look like, you know, assholes or whatever for a couple days.
Well, I don't think the Fox and Hounds are going to pay me when I secretly put up a photo with Jeffrey Epstein on their wall.
Yeah, no.
Just find a good black and white headshot of him.
That dude, see, that's the good stuff. Like, especially if you like Photoshop, like Forrest Gump style it, where you Photoshop the owner with like Epstein, Harvey Weinstein. And, and like R. Kelly and like Puff Daddy all hanging out together. And then you're like, oh, you guys can drink at this place with this fucking monster?
Man, is that shit going to actually like pop off? Or is this just going to be one of those things that's like, yeah, I don't know. Somehow we avoided this massive operate. Like nothing's really happened yet. There were like pictures of Puffy just like chilling, having a drink by his pool the other day that somehow the paparazzi got. Like, is he just going to get away with what is apparently a massive, like,
I think
sex and gun ring?
Because he's definitely, dude, he's been involved in some, remember that case of the shooting at the nightclub where he kind of dodged all charges, but that one young up-and-coming rapper kind of took the fall for it?
Okay, now I've forgotten about that.
This is back when he was with Jennifer Lopez. I mean, this is like 20, 25 years ago. But like, yeah, they're out at a nightclub and basically like, dude, his gun was fired multiple times in a crowded nightclub and he should have faced all kinds of charges. But this up and coming kid with Bad Boy took the fucking rap for him. And then his career never went anywhere after. It's like there's like a pattern here of like people stepping up to take the fall for him, which I don't know why you do that. Like, you know, but.
Yeah, you're young and stupid. And they tell you that they're gonna make you a star. And I mean, it's the same old. Why do you have a Dora the Explorer backpack? What the fuck is that behind you?
What is that?
It looks like Dora the Explorer.
That is some sort of bag that we got. My girlfriend probably got free somewhere that I have like studio equipment and shit stashed in. So nothing special.
It seems like you matched a kid off the street. And like, oh yeah, that's their backpack.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I don't. I was like, I don't know. I was like, my golf bag. But before we get into the real fun stuff here, I want to give a shout out to my operation with a friend of the show, Ryan Kramer of the Sports Gambling Podcast Network, and our current side project, which is SGPN Stables in the Photo Finish Live game. It's a digital horse racing game. We're having a lot of fun there. We now have a promo code. So if you go to photofinish.live, promo code SGPN. And if you go to the show or my Twitter bio, I have the link right there that'll just take you there. I don't even know if you need the promo code from there, but it's SGPN. And yeah, we'll get you set up betting on fucking digital horse races with this. Dude, we won like fucking like $150 yesterday fucking playing. Not even joking. And like
on digital horse races?
On digital horse races. But the cool thing about this is they have a token where you can buy it, earn it. There's all kinds of ways to get it. But once you get it, you can stake it to own a piece of the track. So once you have that and do that, you just get a piece of the money that people are gambling on the track. Like you're a track owner. It's considered a track owner permit. And so like,
that's so weird.
I've had friends ask me lately, like, oh, what's like a crazy, cause like, okay, this is not financial advice. This is not a financial advice show. I just wanted to get that out of the way. But I've had friends be like, what's a crazy weird degen bet thing I can do that I can make some money on? I'm like, honestly, if you want like a cool, like kind of a long-term play, buy this coin right now. Cause it's only like a dollar a coin. And I'm like, the price has been up as high as $2. It's been as low as a nickel. Dollar's kind of a good sweet spot right now because I can see it getting up to $10 eventually when more and more money flow through these tracks and the rewards are worth it. But I'm like, most of these stupid altcoins, it's like, oh, yeah, Dogecoin. Someone's got a picture of a dog and we made a coin out of it and everybody's
right.
But this is like actually something where it's like, no, you buy this and you can own a piece of a digital horse racetrack. I mean, it's just as stupid as anything else, but
sure.
But there's like some kind of utility to it. Like there's some purpose for it.
Right. That's so fucking weird. I want to be the guy that gets to shoot the horses when they break their digital legs.
Yeah, no, I keep saying there's a horse that we got in a claiming race. I don't know. It's like real life horse racing. So just like in real life horse racing, there's claiming races where it's a set price. And that means any of those horses are available for that price in that race. If the horse wins and it's claimed, that means the old owner gets the money that it won in the race. And the new owner gets to keep the horse for that agreed upon price at the beginning. And usually if there's like multiple people that put a claim in on it, then there's some sort of raffle, lottery, auction, whatever, you know, to decide it from there. It's usually kind of like a blind lottery or whatever. But so like we got this cheap claimer in there just because we were kind of experimenting with how it works. And the thing's a fucking donkey. It fucking sucks, right? It's horrible. And I keep saying, like, I keep making references to the fact that we had a digital stable fire, like this, like Ralph on the Sopranos. Yeah. I'm like, oh, we need to find her.
So fucking weird.
We need to find a race for him. Oh, what do you mean? I don't know what happened to him. There's a fire.
Amazing.
But it's pretty cool because like you can bet on the races. You can own horses, enter the races. Obviously, you can own horses and just breed them. And if you know what you're doing on that, they can be sold for more than you bred them for. You know, there's just the staking and owning a piece of the track. So there's a lot of different paths for the player to figure out. Like, I don't think it's only been around for about a year now. So I don't think anybody's truly figured it out yet.
Okay.
So I think, yeah, we're kind of still in the.
That's so bizarre. Do you get to watch him fuck if you're breeding him? Is that part
I haven't bred one yet. So I don't, but I think you hear them fuck.
Okay. That's enough for me. So you own a horse then?
Yeah. We own like 10, 12 now, I think, something like that. Like, we got
so weird. And are they doing well?
Yeah. One, she might be good enough to qualify. She won a big one race last night. And she's been on kind of a hot streak lately. Finished second in a big race. But yeah, so it's like their age, like each season they're born, every 4 weeks is a season. So it's just like in real life where it's like, they start racing at the age 2 season, then you can race them up until their age 9 season, then they'd be automatically retired, and they die between like 20 and 25. But you can breed them that whole time they're retired.
So eventually your digital horse just fucking dies.
Yeah. So you try to make as much money out of it from racing and then breeding, and then you carry that bloodline on.
And then you just get a notification like fucking Poughkeepsie passed away.
No horses in the game have died yet. It hasn't been around long enough. So
Oh, I gotcha. Okay.
Within about a year, yeah, we're gonna have the first fucking horses start dropping dead. That's gonna be fun, dude. That's definitely going to be
so bizarre.
Some, I got a new show. Me and Ryan are going to be doing a show for the SGPN for this. We're going to be doing streaming and like kind of a how to guide for the show. And yeah,
specifically like, about this horse racing.
Yeah, I cannot wait for the first horse in the game to die and just do an episode on like just do a funeral for the first dead horse in photo finish live. Like that is so funny.
But like, why even make it horses? Why they could like it's fucking digital. It's not real. They could have made it anything. You'd just be racing children.
Well, yeah, they actually have done like the Costco hot dog races on there.
Okay.
But no, because the guy Ian Cummings, who's like the CEO and like head developer and stuff, used to be the main developer at Madden, and so it's like. Okay. Madden has always been about making it the most realistic like football gaming experience, and that's kind of the page they took it from, of like taking horse racing and really making it as realistic as possible, like having this like digital and they have a partnership with Churchill Downs, which hosts the Kentucky Derby, so every 4 weeks there's like a real like a digital Kentucky Derby.
That's so crazy.
Yeah,
why don't they do this with cockfighting?
I've been saying this for about 2 years, dude, actually.
Now that would be fun,
because I first got involved in this stuff when I used to do the Zed racing, and Zed was also digital horse racing, but the difference is whereas this is more like Madden, that was more like NFL Blitz, which is like more of an arcade game, more it's like it looked like Tron, it was like super futuristic. It wasn't like grounded in reality. It's still fun, but this is like way more fun, where it's like you have like specific like tracks with like the turf or the dirt, how much rain is out there, different horses responding to the different conditions. Like, so it's like, I know some where it's like, 40% chance of rain. That's a good spot for this horse. Like it's kind of funny. Like how you start getting into that stuff. But
he's a mutter, loves the mud.
His mom's a mutter. Mutter's a mutter.
His mom's a mutter. Born in the mud.
So there's a game called Alpha Dogs, and I just did a revamp on it, but I bought one of these, like, I don't know, a few months ago or a year or so ago. I bought it for like $7. I don't know how much they're worth now, but it is a digital greyhound. Okay. And so I'm like, all right, and at that point I'm like, all right, well, there's already like the horses and greyhounds. The next evolution is cockfighting. Like
it should be cockfighting.
I think a digital cockfighting game would be amazing. You breed them, you fight them.
Yeah.
You bet on them.
It'd be great.
You know what?
And also, like, you know, I don't give a shit about a fake chicken. Like, no. I couldn't watch, like, digital dog fights. That would break my heart. But, like, a digital chicken is far enough away from reality and something I don't give much of a shit about. I eat chickens. Like, yeah, let's fight some digital chickens.
Well, and there's two ways of doing it, too. So there's, like, making it more of, like, a cartoon, like, almost PG friendly kind of way of doing it,
right?
Or you make it like a Japanese gangster movie
and make it bloodbath,
straight Gozu shit. Yeah. Ichi the killer of the game, like, basically
metal spikes for their talons and shit. Yes,
for their absolutely. Because you heard about those guys in India, that one guy that got his fucking dick cut off and died in a cockfight.
No, what?
Dude, this is a couple of years ago. I definitely brought this up on an old episode. But, there was, like, first off, like, in India, cockfighting is, I guess, a big no-no because, like, chickens are sacred there. So there's some
kind of... Okay.
But, like, so like, these guys go, like, 100 miles outside of, like, cities to go do their cockfights. So if you get injured or something in one of these things, you're fucked, dude. Like...
Oh, shit, yeah.
And
yeah.
So, like, his fucking cock, I guess, like, kind of flew up to him, like, you know, like... as of the fight or whatever, and just the talon like fucking just cut his dick right off, and he bled out and fucking died, dude.
What the fuck? That is amazing.
Because that dude, and
like
at least it happened.
Was his dick out? Like, was he jerking off? I don't know. Like, it cut through pants.
I can understand if you have a rooster that good, you want to jerk off to the twins. But dude, thank God it happened to the owner of the rooster though, and not some innocent bison. Can you imagine? Like, your buddy drags you along to a cockfight at a bachelor party,
right?
And getting your dick cut off.
Get your fucking dick cut off.
Bleed out and
Jesus
die.
Jesus Christ.
And it's a good thing.
Perfect.
Yeah, I mean, it's very good, dude. It's very good stuff.
Yeah.
But yeah, wow. I think I agree with you. Cockfighting would be the next thing. I'm also I mean, I'm a wrestling fan, dude. I think a fucking digital pro wrestling thing would be kind of funny, where you can kind of create your own wrestler characters and they'd be kind of within this digital game. Like, and more so than like, sure. And like WWE 2K on PlayStation, but have it be these like very unique kind of things where it's like, I don't know, that could be something like that could be interesting, where you kind of have like a territory system and all that. Like, so where each areas kind of competing against each other, because like when I did the Zed Run stuff, like I did go to some meetups here in Vegas where there are some fun events, dude, like just people sitting around getting hammered watching fucking video games that you can gamble on. Like it's very very Vegas, very hilarious, just super
detailed. And no one's controlling the shit, right? They just go.
I mean, dude, it's all just a line of code basically, and yeah, what we're watching is just a, you know, the code crashing together. Like for the supercomputer science nerds, there's math and stuff of why it's all happening, and that's the fun part for them. The actual watching of it, right, is just like the representation of things happening. But yeah, it's fucking wild. It's degen as shit though. And you know what else is degen as shit? While during this hiatus that I've been on here, while my teeth have been healing and whatnot, is I kind of learned how to rig slot machines, dude, and I want to share that with you.
What?
Yeah, it's okay.
Okay.
It's not really. All right. Have you seen those like fucking like clickbait like videos or like at the end of an article, be like, if you see this at a casino, stop what you're doing and do this now. You ever see those? Those ever get?
No, I haven't.
Okay, I get those suggested to me, and you'll see like there'll be TikToks about this stuff where it's like how to win at a slot machine, guaranteed. And I'm not saying this is guaranteed. You can lose money still on it's a fucking slot machine. I'm not saying.
Sure.
But here's how we can kind of remove some of the peripherals and give yourself a better chance. But so.
Okay.
And I've learned it on this game called Rich Little Piggies. Okay. So this is important. Rich Little Piggies. You'll see all kinds of
Rich Little Piggies.
You'll see all kinds of piggy games out there, people. But you specifically want the Rich Little Piggies. And you also have the Fat Little Hens. The fucking the chick. Speaking of roosters,
can you fight them?
Can we fight the fat little hen? We've seen this too, and it's the same exact layout for the game. So I'm guessing it works. I haven't seen someone officially state this on the record yet, but my girlfriend and I, and when we go around to local casinos, now what we do is we literally walk around the floor looking for these machines. We at our locals, we know exactly where the machines are. It's like walk in, walk straight to them. Anybody playing, and if someone's playing, you just sit back and watch. Because what happens is there's a little fucking counter on the thing, and it shows you free games that build up as you play. Okay. And so the sweet spot is like set. Most of the games automatically start with like 9 free games or whatever. But you want to get up to that sweet spot between 17 and 22. Okay. 17, 20, okay. 21 or so. That's usually when it's about to pop. It doesn't usually go much bigger than 21. But anything lower than that, the free hit's not going to be worth it enough, right? So you go in and you just sit, you wait for one of these people to do it, build up their free games. When they walk away, you sit down and you just have to play exactly what they were playing, and the machine will treat it like it's the same person still playing on it. And now all those free game jackpot just rolled over. And you do it when you see, like, because like it's called Fat Ritual Piggies. Well, the pigs like start off kind of small and they get fatter and fatter and fatter as the prize pool gets bigger. So ideally you're waiting for the pig to get fat enough, have enough free games on it. And when you cash in on the free games, you get like 20 free games at once. Like I watched my buddy over the course of like an hour and a half last month win like $600 doing this.
Jesus Christ.
Just walks up to the machine with like with a $100 bill, throws it in there, and within like $5 of credits, it would just fucking hit.
So why are these people walking away with free games? They just don't know what the fuck they're doing.
It could be that. It could be they just ran out of money. It could be they got to go piss. Dude. It could be like, hey, sometimes I guess it becomes a thing where people are, it's called slot snipering, and sometimes people get mad because like I was just going to get a drink and then I came back and like,
yeah, okay, huh, interesting. I don't understand slot machines well enough, I guess. I mean, our buddy Androsky won like a fucking $1 million on Big Bang Theory slot machine on one roll. Or
go back and listen to that episode. He's come on the show and given the full, the full blow by blow whole night story of how it all happened and how his dad basically fucking ruined their family with his gambling before all that when he was a kid, caused his parents to divorce.
Oh shit! I didn't know that.
It's a big redemption arc, dude.
We were supposed to meet up the next day, and he texted me. He's like, sorry, dude, I'm still in Vegas. And he just sent me a screenshot of his bank account. I'm like, all right, well, I'll see you if you make it out of there alive.
Yeah, dude. But yeah, so that's kind of how that works. Is like you're waiting. Yeah, you're hoping to cash in on these free, like the free bonus games that are and like a lot of these. Like,
okay.
There's a lot of those games that have that stuff. That just happens to be the one that has like a specific window where the like that machine's going to be hot there, and like you know, I'm sure there's other machines. If you're listening to the show and you're like, hey, I know a machine that has a trick, let me know, dude. I'm fucking always down to learn this kind of stuff because it's just fucking it's just fun to go walk around and like, all right, is it ready? Sure. Is it ready? Is it ready? All right, yeah, let's go. Put some money.
That's wild. Adomian has some specific slot machine that he's like figured out an angle on. It was in an airport somewhere that he was flying. It must have been like Atlantic City or some shit because I don't think it was Vegas. But he was telling me I didn't completely follow it, but he figured out some angle with one. I'll ask him what it was.
Yeah, and like we started playing the NFL slots too because this was like during March Madness. It was me, Sean Green, our buddy Ryan Kramer, and then like CJ Sullivan. And there's like a bunch of guys from the Sports Gambling Podcast Network and stuff too, like Colby and so we're all hanging. But like, yeah, so me and Kramer, like we would sit there and like we were watching the games in the Barry Manilow Theater. You can't smoke in there, so we would go smoke outside on the casino floor, and we just kind of started doing this while we were about to smoke breaks. And it turned because like the games were still on the TVs out there, and it just turned into us doing that out there, watching the game while we're smoking, like chain smoking, waiting for some asshole tourist to get up and go with his wife yelling at him and sit down and snipe his free games. Like, and like great. That definitely is going to work better in the tourist spots too, because those are going to be busier. Okay. Like the local spots, I think the locals are a little sharper to the machines, but also those are people that are going to sit there all day on that machine. They're not getting up and moving on.
Okay.
The tourist spots, like you go to like an MGM, like where it's a huge spot. There's so many people walking around, crawling around. There's so many people just moving from spot to spot every few minutes. That's where you get it. You know, you can kind of just keep an eye on it. Maybe like three different people play it before it gets up to that point you want it. Then you get in there and.
Okay, I'm gonna remember this. I'm gonna have to hit you up for a refresher next time I come down there.
Well, yeah, next time you come down there, dude, I'll take you to a spot that we'll go to. Here's what we'll do: it's like I thought about this. I've talked to some friends about this already, and I was like, all right, they're like, how do we would make this like an operation where like we can like really make money off it? And I'm like, the way to do it is like a, first off, a little like two-way radio, like walkie-talkie, like low key secret service kind of, not make it too obvious, but like in downtown. Where you have so many casinos in a quick walking distance from each other, where you can cover a lot of machines in a small area, versus like on like the south end of the strip where those like the MGM's huge, but it's a fucking 45-30 minute walk just to get over to the next one real quick, or you have to Uber just to get next door or whatever.
Right. Yeah.
And you're like, if you really are timing this right, you need like the money man, you need the player, you need to have the spotters. Like it needs to be a whole thing. Okay. Dude.
You're going to be the first guy in Vegas to get like banned from casinos for fucking slot machine. Card counting version of slot machines.
It's gonna be like I'm gonna go be in the black book. Like, dude, that would be the worst thing to ever happen to me, is just be in the black book where I couldn't go to any. Because, dude, not even just for the game. Like, yes, I love gambling and I love drinking at these places, but like some of my favorite sandwich shops are in casinos, and I wouldn't be able to go and get the
like no, dude. No, I'm just trying to get a hero,
dude. Because like, great example, Santa Fe Station down the street from my bed, Stallone's. Next time you're in town, I gotta take your. They have these garlic knot meatball parm sliders.
Okay.
So it's breaded meatballs on a fucking garlic knot. And they're and they also have chicken and eggplant ones. But I'm telling you, the meatball ones are fucking next level. They are so fucking good. And that's a fun hang, dude. That's a very fun local casino too. They have a cool poker room. I tell him Pemberton, I'm going to take him there next time he's in town. He's like, he likes playing poker. Oh, nice. And they have a really, really, it used to be in like this like weird little like side, like hallway, like corner kind of room. It was like a decent sized room, but it was just weirdly tucked away. They turned that into the high limit slot area. Because that doesn't need to be that big. There's not many people playing $500 fucking a roll of slots, you know? Like,
yeah, Jesus Christ.
And so they took like the huge wide open area they had out in like in front of the movie theater bowling alley in this casino. They kind of turned it into like a walled in poker room, like an open air poker room. And it's got these big TVs in there. So it's like, I realize if I'm going to play poker, I need to have TVs on because I'll gamble too much. Okay, obviously I want to gamble, but it's like I play too many stupid hands. I just want to have action on stuff. But if there's a game on and I have money on that,
okay,
I fold, and then you can just sit there and watch the game until it's your next hand that you want to see.
Right.
You got to layer your degeneracy. Like, it's a whole...
Yeah, right. Dude, we haven't talked about OJ.
I was waiting for us to get to the end here because I wanted to say before we leave, I got to say RIP Orenthal James Simpson.
Yeah, man.
My dream of just going to a wine bar in Summerlin and seeing him hit on 55-year-old fucking real estate agents is not going to happen. Dude, you know his son's a local real estate agent out here. I've always wanted to schedule a meeting with him just to...
Oh, wow.
Just to go to his office and like sit down with him and be like, oh, this is OJ and Nicole. It's Justin, him and Nicole's son. Like,
oh wow, that's fucking wild.
Yeah, and like I found him on Twitter, and I was like, oh, dude.
Oh, really? You got to send it to me. My friend at work, she grew up here, and she went she took dance classes with OJ's daughter, which I think would have been maybe from a different wife, but I'm not actually sure.
It might have been his first wife there. Yeah.
Yeah. That's fucking crazy. But yeah, you took me to me and Andy to the casino where he got arrested
So last time Brian was in town with our buddy Andy Wood, we met up and I'm like, hey, meet me at the Palace Station because it's like halfway from like the strip and my pad kind of. It's a good meeting point. But most importantly, I always have people meet me there because it's where OJ got arrested for stealing his memorabilia from the hotel room. And I think that was maybe my best joke I wrote on Twitter that day was, it's kind of wild that he was better at like rage killing than stealing his merch from hotel rooms, but he was just built different, man. Like it's,
it's crazy. Oh, OJ.
But yeah, I remember, I mean, it was funny because like when him and King Charles both announced they had prostate cancer the same week, that was the first time in my life where I was like, fucking rough week for prostate cancer.
I didn't realize that was the same week. That's insane. Yeah,
they announced it within a couple of days.
See those fucking, his old manager and a couple other ghouls that own the Bronco are like, they announced they're considering selling it because it's, you know, now that he's dead, the price will probably skyrocket. They actually said this. Like,
oh my God.
This, you know, OJ was ostensibly their friend and one guy's client. And they're like, they said, first of all, we always assumed we'd probably sell it around the 30th anniversary, which is such an insane fucking sentence. Like, yeah, you know, we thought we'd celebrate the fucking murders by selling this at its peak
30 years
value when everyone's a buzz.
30 years, good cooling off period.
Would be this year.
We all remember the bum rush of Challenger merch in 2016.
Just that glove they found on the beach in Florida.
Dude, like,
how insane is it that like everybody our age watched that happen live in school?
That's insane. And OJ.
Yeah, for that matter. Yeah, I remember being at marching band practice and a kid had a fucking Walkman, like radio Walkman. He's like, OJ got off, OJ got off.
I remember one of the teachers that had a TV in her room, like there's like everybody kind of knew which teachers had rented out the TVs for their classrooms that day for other stuff.
Right.
And just kind of all the, like, no one could contain the kids. Everybody just kind of ran in and gathered around the TVs in whatever room they could find it. And they announced, I remember it was like right before like our nutrition break happened or whatever. So we were all like getting dismissed about anyway. And it was just the craziest, like there was like, I remember it was like, I thought like 20 black students just cheering and celebrating. And I was like, And I mean, I remember, I the riots were very vivid in my like memory. And I'm like, yeah, I would be too. You know, I'm like, I remember that shit. That was some fucked up shit. You know, I'm like, my high school had a lot of kids that came over from like Linwood, like Compton area and stuff. And so I was like, they weren't living like the way a lot of our the other kids. And then like the most typical, like I would say, like Hillary people. Like the 1995 version of the Hillary, like they were sure. Hillary boss queen girls back then, big time. You know, she was first lady and really sure. gonna do some shit after, and not just fucking blow Senate races and whatnot. The only time,
right.
like whatever the only time she could win a race was against Giuliani. That's how bad she was. Like, But those kind of people were just so mortified. I remember just thinking, this is the funniest shit ever. Like, this is like comedy is peaking right now. They just let the guy from Naked Gun off on murder. Like, this is like,
right.
Like, yeah. I don't know. Maybe I was just too big of an asshole about it, but I was like, kind of rooting for it. Like, obviously it's horrible. He fucking is a double murderer. I mean, he definitely did this stuff.
Sure.
But the fucking, right. just the sheer audacity of like, him immediately, like, the way he pivoted to, like, well, no, I'll just go back and hang out with my country club buddies. And they're like, no, you won't, dude.
Yeah, he was definitely playing, like, muni courses here in L.A. for a minute.
Yeah, and I really want to see if that his fantasy football seed's been filled yet in his league here in Vegas and see if I can get down on that. Those guys.
He was in a league here in Vegas?
Yeah, because every year he would fucking release a video from this wine bar over in Summerlin where he'd be like, hello, Twitter world. I just drafted my team, and I can't believe I took this guy in the fourth round. He's already hurt. Oh, my God. The season's over for me already. Love you, everybody. Juice. Like, you know.
Yeah, those. I will miss those Twitter videos. They were pretty incredible.
The thing people forget, too, is like people our age remember is like, this was one of the craziest things of all time because he legit was one of the most charming like celebrities ever.
You know, I was honestly only vaguely aware of the guy. Like, I'd seen him in the Naked Gun movies, and that was kind of it because I'm not a sports guy. And so when the whole thing was going on, I was like, why is everyone making such a huge fucking deal out of this?
I mean, that's the
at the time. Now it's like, yeah, it was the craziest fucking thing ever.
The that was part of the beauty of it to me is just the fact, like, part of a big chunk of this, because I used to watch football every Sunday. And I mean, he was the sideline reporter on NBC. He was one of the sideline guys on it. Like, I'm trying to think of like, it'd be like if Susie Colbert did that for ESPN, you know, like cut her. Like,
yeah.
And like, but like, there's that fucking, like in the trial, a big chunk of the evidence is him wearing those gloves, like calling outdoor cold weather games, him wearing the Bruno Mauli shoes on the sidelines. Like, it's very specific. That's what he wears those shoes and those gloves. Like, that was, it was so obvious. That was it.
It's so insane.
Yeah.
Oh, OJ.
Yeah. And then the civil trial was even crazier. Just like basically a year later, they're like, no, we've decided that he's definitely responsible for those murders.
Yeah.
He's going to have to pay for it. And that's the most unhinged shit since he's died is that fucking guy, the manager, lawyer dude or whatever, who's saying like, I'm going to spend the rest of my life making sure Fred Goldman doesn't get a dollar out of OJ's estate.
Jesus fucking Christ.
Like, dude, like, your client's dead, dude. Who fucking cares?
It's so insane.
And OJ, it's probably written in there. It's like, hey, because he's the executor of the estate. So it's probably written in there like,
okay,
whatever doesn't go to the Goldman family, he gets to keep. And he's like,
yeah,
I am fucking, they are getting a fucking cunt hair out of this fucking.
Oh, it's nuts.
So fucking good, though, dude. Like, it. I mean, see, yeah, it's why I had to save this for the closing, because this is just, like, first off, the fact that he died of cancer after Norm Macdonald died of cancer. It's some kind of poetic fucking just horror. Like, come on. Like, I just know Norm. If there is, you know, an afterlife, Norm has won it now at this point. Norm is now victorious in that realm, but like, it's just,
it is nuts that he lost his job because Don Olmeyer was fucking friends with OJ and he just wouldn't stop telling OJ jokes. Like, that's the fucking craziest. Like, see, you lost your job on SNL because Don Olmeyer was buddies with a murderer and didn't want you to make fun of him anymore.
I recently heard that it was basically because it was him and Jim Downey, head writer at the time, that were just really leaning in on it. I heard that basically Olmeyer fired Downey, was going to keep Norm, but like fired Downey as a fucking warning shot. And Norm quit.
Oh, wow.
And Norm quit in solidarity when he found out and made it seem like he got fired.
Oh, okay.
And that kind of seems like something.
I didn't know that, if that's the case.
I don't know if that's true or not. I heard whispers of that, but I'm like, that seems like a Norm thing to do, is quit, like do something like noble and honest and quit with someone in solidarity and just make it seem like you got fired to make the other guy look like a huge asshole.
Yeah. I mean, it's great. People forget, too, that Olmeyer also fired like G.E. Smith, the fucking band leader.
Yeah.
And yeah. I'm pretty sure Sandler.
He fired Sandler, Farley, and kept Spade during that time. Yeah. Just really weird. But yeah, he fired Sandler and Farley. At the same time, he fired them right when like Billy Madison and Tommy Boy came out. So they weren't like fucking.
Right. No.
They were moving on anyway, basically.
That's why no one like. They were stoked. But he thought those guys weren't funny and he just fucking shit-canned them. But he just didn't like G.E. Smith for some fucking reason. G.E. Smith played with his blues band at like a restaurant in Bangor, Maine when I was in college. And my buddies and I went, and we thought left the show. And we talked to him afterward. And we're like, hey, yeah, why'd you quit the SNL band? He's like, quit? I didn't quit. That piece of shit fucking fired me. It's crazy.
That'd be amazing. You're all young. Just like, oh my. That reminds me of a time me and my brother went to a Gordon Ramsay Kitchen Nightmare place months after to see how it was doing. And the new partner was just in there struggling, like looking at us, telling us his life story. He just ends up going like, yeah, man, I think about turning this place into a barbecue spot. I don't know. We can get a smoker over here. And then he's like, I don't know why I'm telling you guys this stuff. And I was like, because we watched the show. That's why we came in here. And now we're getting a follow-up episode that's like custom made for us, like a live dinner theater follow-up episode just for us.
That's the show somebody else should be making, because like Pat's Cocktails in the Valley. That was one of Gordon Ramsay's, or no, sorry, that was
John Taffer. Yeah, Bar Rescue.
John Taffer, and he fucking ruined that place.
Yes, I know. Pat, I used to go to Pat's before he went in there, and then afterwards it was like, oh god, man, that was.
Oh, it's awful. You can't. It's just you took a perfectly good shitty bar and turned it into like a shittier bar that you tried to make nice, which is the worst fucking combination.
It's the worst. The worst one I ever saw him do was like it was like in Baltimore. And he brings these people back like every season to like, because I think he acknowledges this is one I definitely fucked up and like I kind of owe them. But like they had like a pirate bar. Do you ever see this one? Like the pirate bar in Baltimore?
No.
One of the guys that worked there had a fucking eye patch for some condition he had. And he, dude.
Amazing.
And the whole staff was very into the pirate theme. Super, super on board. And I think Taffer could have made that work. Instead, he turned it into like a Fern corporate bar because there was a business a complex like right around the block.
Sure.
And he's like, you want those people to come here for lunch? And it's like, dude, those people will come here for fucking strong cocktails if you make them.
Yeah.
Like, you do it right. Like,
and those fucking nerds will think it's like edgy that they're at a pirate themed bar and they'll crack stupid pirate jokes. Absolutely.
Instead of just turning it into a straight like 1980s like Midtown Manhattan Fern bar. Like,
yeah.
And so the worst part of it though is like the guy when they put him out of his pirate costume and into like the like tuxedo, like the shirt and tie look, and he's still got his eye patch though on. He's just like crying, dude, and he's like, this is like the one place I could work and feel like a normal person.
Like, they took it away from him. You know, he's like, why are you still wearing the eye patch? He's like, this isn't a fucking costume.
Yeah. And, you know, this is the one thing I could fucking do with my life, dude, and not feel like an asshole.
Oh, that's so fucking funny.
And like,
he's got a real hook for a hand and shit.
And the place closed like 3 months after. It closed like right away. And it was like, yeah, I think you just needed to teach these guys how to like use like a POS system and run food out
properly.
Don't
be on your phone when there's fucking customers.
I think the fix is there. Like the a full overhaul of the theme. Yeah, you don't have to do that all the time. Like
right.
But
it's anytime somebody like thinks they're gonna fucking. But I mean, you go to a million bars that like they can't. You can tell instantly that they don't know what they're trying to be. Like this always every new bar that opens in Hollywood. You walk in and you're like, okay, so there's country line dancing on Thursdays.
Yeah.
And then you're trying to do a comedy night on Friday. And then you have trivia on Monday. When is this just a bar? Never? Okay, got it. They're just grasping at fucking straws.
Those places are always so funny when you go into one of those new bars in Hollywood. And it'll always be like a manager and a couple bartenders so desperate for anything. They will listen to anyone's ideas that just walks in there and fucking spouts off.
Yeah.
Hey, you guys should do this. And then they're just so desperate to have anyone come in and sit down and it's unbelievable.
Let the shittiest comedian put on a fucking weekly show and just ruin everyone's good time.
Oh man. I remember when I used to work in this office building down on Wilshire, I'll never forget. There was a bar across the street from there that I used to go to after work for happy hour sometimes. And they had pretty good food there and lunch specials. So I would eat there a lot too. I'll never forget. One time I go, and this was when I was still doing stand up, but like all of a sudden I just see these guys set up and I'm like, oh my God, a comedy show is about to start. And then bam, it does. And like the place clears out immediately. I'm like, why do they have to fucking ruin this? This is a perfectly nice after work, have a drink, eat spot. Like just have some fucking games on for people to watch or whatever, or, you know, and like, you do not need to overthink this. Have a dartboard in the corner to fucking play or whatever. Like,
yeah, nobody wants to be surprised by a band or a comedy show. I do comedy and I play in bands, and I hate being in a bar when there's bands or comedy going on, unless I decided to go fucking watch that on purpose.
Unless it's like, oh no, I'm going to this specific show this night at this bar. I know it's going to be there. Yeah. Like I've been at a bar.
No one wants it.
I've been at a bar once where a show broke, like an ambush show like that broke out. And I knew the host and they asked me to do a set and I was on mushrooms and I was just like,
yeah.
I was like, fuck yeah, I'll do it.
Sure.
And it actually,
why not?
That was a kind of a fun experience. Because it was so weird. I'm like, oh, this will be at least a fun story for later. But like, literally, this is the mileage I've gotten out of the story now. I don't think I've ever really told that story much outside of just right now. So,
sure. Do you know the Universal Bar and Grill?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I've done shows there.
Yeah, that's like, there's still, I think it's maybe just a monthly, but that dude puts up like 20 white guys. It's fucking hysterical. Yeah. And everyone eats shit except for like, the absolute best, because it's no one is expecting a comedy show. You know, it's your standard fucking terrible.
It's
ambush.
Brutal.
The crowd hates it.
Yep. I have. I don't know if it's the same guy, but there was a booker there that used to have like it was like a 7 p.m., a 9 p.m., and an 11 p.m. show, and it's all just
not anymore.
And it's just all like a one big open mic, and it's like, okay, dude, you know, whatever you got to tell yourself to get through the night. On Mondays or whatever, but then, so he would book me. And I remember one time I got there, it was like, I don't know, like 10:40. It was like a spot on like the 9 o'clock show or whatever. Right. And so I got there like I don't know, like 9:15, I want to say. And he's like, all right, I still got 8 more people on the 7 o'clock show. I'm like, why are we even making up numbers anymore for this? Like, did you even start anytime near 7? You know, it's just a masturbatory affair so we can all fucking work out some new stuff in front of the same people that were here last week. Like,
it's not like there's a line waiting to get in for the 8 o'clock. It's the same dipshits, right?
Yeah, it's the same fucking dip. Yeah. Maybe someone went out and fucking picked up a bag of blow and coming back in an hour. But yeah, it's the same fucking dipshits, dude. Like,
it's amazing.
Yeah.
I went to watch it because Augie Smith and Henry Phillips were both on. And I was like, all right, I'm going to go watch this shit show because either I get to watch my friends bomb or they'll have good sets. And either way, I win because it's hilarious to watch somebody you know fucking eat it. And they're two of the funniest guys ever. And they both had great sets like for that, you know, for that room, for the 6 people that were in there. And it was funny to watch because like Augie just fucking screamed at him and it worked. And then Henry gets up there and it's just like, oh, damn, Henry, like that's his one.
Oh,
fucking
yeah. Dude, he's
pace. And he just made him come to him and had a great fucking set.
He's so fucking funny, man.
But yeah, for the most part. Oh, he's the best. But I got to go back there and watch that show again. Cause it really is like, I'd never want to do it, but I love sitting there watching my friends either eat shit or be triumphant in front of the worst room ever.
Some of those like LA shows, like just because a place will let you do a show at a certain time and a certain hour doesn't mean you should.
Right.
You know, and
for sure.
So many people do not grasp that. And I've been guilty of that before when I was younger. And I mean, it happens, but it's like so many times where it's like, because at first it's kind of, sometimes it's kind of funny where it's like, oh, dude, yeah, this is kind of punk rock doing, this is fucking weird, you know, we're freaking out the squares. But then at a certain point, you're just like, why am I fucking doing this to myself, dude?
Yeah. Yeah, then you're just staring at the floor going, no one fucking laughs at anything.
All right, well, that's like, I've some of those shows, I realize if anytime I would do rooms like that and they have the bar phone number written up anywhere, just crank call the bar from the stage. That's always good for a laugh.
Amazing. Sure.
Yeah, why not? You know? Yeah. Especially the longer it takes the bartender to realize it's coming, the call is coming from inside the house the whole time. But yeah.
Fuck yeah.
All right, buddy. I think it's time to wrap things up. I'm going to go pour one out. Going to pour one out for the juice, dude.
One out for the juice.
Actually got some of those Langostino lobsters that I'm going to make with some linguine tonight. So.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. Fancy
fuck
shit.
Fuck yeah, dude.
Yeah, have a little wine, you know. Maybe a salad, you know, but trying to be a good guy. Dude, you got anything you want to plug? Anything you got coming up? Any shows on the horizon?
I don't know shit. I don't know shit. I got some shows coming up, but I can't remember where or when they are. What month is it? Look at my fucking old man calendar.
That's how I have it too. I have my calendar here. It's a horse racing calendar in my home office studio here. And I got it because it was all these cool action shots of like racehorses winning these big events and all this stuff. But this month of April, it's literally just a picture of a jockey's ass, like on a horse. Dude, it's like, I don't know what they're trying to convey there. Like, I don't know if that was their April Fool's.
I'm doing the Blind Barber in Culver. Blind Barber, April 29th, Culver City.
Okay.
Grant Lyons show.
All right.
Yeah.
I think the last show I did in Culver, I was sitting outside. It was at some like record shop, and I was sitting out there waiting to go on, and they had like a little outdoor kind of seating area. I was just sitting there looking at my set list, and somebody took one of those stink bomb bags and drove by and threw it at me, and it hit me. And I walked into the fucking show to do my set smelling like fucking rotten eggs and sulfur.
Jesus Christ.
So I'm sure you'll have a better experience than the last time I did stand up in Culver City.
That's amazing. That's like the worst crime that's ever been committed in Culver City.
Yeah, dude, I know. I used to buy weed for my buddy there too. It was those were good shows. So I go over there, buy weed, go do the show, then go hang out at his pad more after, and then drive home when there's no traffic. Like, ah.
Yeah. Yeah. There's weirdly good bars in Culver. Everyone forgets there's like a couple of good dives that have hung on out there.
Oh, yeah, dude, for sure.
Backstage bar. And
yep.
Yeah. The rest of it's fucking terrible, but.
Yeah. It's weird how there's places like that. But no, we're going to keep plugging away. I will have more news coming out about my 24-hour telethon coming up. I think that's going to be a lot of fun. And I mean, you want to come in and join me for like 20 minutes while I'm doing weird degenerate shit.
Sure.
All for 24 hours straight. More than welcome, dude. I'm gonna have fun. I think my sister's gonna come join me too for a little bit, because it was kind of funny when we were kids, we used to go to the track with our grandparents, and she was actually one of the best. She would just be like, oh yeah, that one's green or whatever, and then hit like a 35-1 shot.
Like, oh shit,
like she was so insanely right. Lucky. It was so fucking funny, dude. It was just like a little kid fucking handicapping. It was very funny shit. But thank you, everybody. Where can they follow you on Twitter? What's
At Brian Cooking on Twitter.
All right. And you guys can follow the show at Luxops here, and or Luxops Pod, excuse me. You can follow the show at that. And then, yeah, if you're interested in the Photo Finish Live stuff, click on the link in the show bio. Use promo code SGPN. And if you need to hit me up, I'll help you walk through the steps and get you owning a piece of a fucking racetrack like a mob boss down in Florida in the 1940s. Thank you so much, everybody.
Oh, yeah.
God bless you, and keep gambling.